If you want to pump your body and expand your mind, there's only one place to go. Mind Pump. Mind Pump. With your hosts, Sal DiStefano, Adam Schaefer, and Justin Andrews.
So, yeah. Adam and Justin,
yes, that's
Sal.
My name.
What do you guys,
Sal?
When you look at Doug, do you notice anything different about him?
His hair is glowing.
Well, he's glowing and he's a little more muscular.
Yeah, but does he look different? Does he look older?
Older.
Ooh. Yeah, does he look older?
What?
He looks younger.
Older?
That's what I'm saying. He looks younger.
Mean?
No, he looks younger.
Yeah.
You know why this irritates me?
Why?
Because the man just turned 50 the other fucking a month ago.
Oh, no shit.
He snuck that one under the radar.
Didn't say shit to us.
Nothing. Radio silence.
Half a century
You're
old.
Half a century old.
You know
Holy
what?
Holy shit.
How do you feel,
Doug? He was
liking
49.
You know, I feel like I did when I was 25.
Hold on. Let's talk about this for a second. Let's talk about erection quality.
We're gonna need examples.
Is it as rigid? Can you hang as many wet towels around it?
That's always the gauge. We know this.
Yes,
as you could before.
Well, let's just say I go to Costco in the towel aisle.
And
I've tested it.
Whoa, calm down.
And the integrity's still there.
Okay, so
let me tell you how impressive that is. First of all, a Costco towel could wrap around Doug at least four times.
Yes, but you know what?
if he could actually hold a Costco towel with his dick, that's very impressive.
But you know what else?
Don't you guys do the test, the thwarting test, right? The one where you knock it on the table really loud, make a loud noise. No, because if it makes kind of a
no,
I do the same thing too, but I try to tip a glass of water over. By
oh, okay,
it.
Okay,
I slap the table. So
I just take it down to the driving range.
Yeah, what? So no. So Doug, you just prove that you're a lot older now because you do the towel test at Costco. Only an old fucker would do that shit.
Yeah.
Younger guys.
He's
got to
be productive.
There is some things that we should talk about right now. That us being younger guys, issues that we have with older men, and we should go over some of these rules with Doug. So just because you're 50 now does not give you the okay to walk around naked in the men's bathroom and dry your balls
off
with a hair dryer.
Balls.
No, drying your balls in the hand
dryer.
Does
that mean I need to put my clothes on now?
Yeah. It does. Yeah. Also does not
give
you
knee socks.
Not give you the green light to come over and give a young guy like me advice on lifting just because you're an older, experienced gentleman while you're naked.
Yeah.
Also, not okay to do that.
While you're naked. Now, when I do it, it's totally normal.
Faux pas.
It's totally normal. Right, Adam?
Yeah.
It's okay when I do
totally
it.
Totally normal.
Okay. You can't do that, though.
Okay.
You can't do
and
that.
And the
no
next
more
thing
Hawaiian
that
shirts.
And for some reason, I think this happens at 50 also, you do that stance. Where people put you put your hands on your hips and you put your pelvic forward. What is that stance?
Oh,
no, it's the one
I call that the Ron Jeremy.
The old man stance. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
No, it's the Ron Jeremy.
You're pushing your gear out there.
Yeah, you stand there, you put your hands on your hips and you thrust your pelvic forward.
Yeah, it's the Ron Jeremy. It's because like in the porns, they have to put their hand behind their back so that they're not in the way of the shot. So they always have their hand on their hip. You ever notice that?
Oh.
When they're doing it? Yeah.
You know way too much about this.
Yeah. So
you
that was very, very detailed answer.
Very
descriptive.
You can't do that anymore, Doug.
Oh, anymore. Okay.
If you've already been starting to do it.
Yeah, I haven't noticed, but it's probably subconscious.
Yeah.
Also, it's not okay to pick your nose in public. These are all things men think it's okay. What you can do, though, it is okay for you to be inappropriate to younger women. Because now
this is true.
You can blame
fuck,
little pinching.
You lucky son of a bitch.
Yeah, man. Got the green light for the inappropriateness.
Yeah.
The only bummer is though you look young. So
really young.
I can't pull off the old man thing, I don't think.
Yeah. Normally when you look really old, you have gray hair and it looks like
you gotta wear blue blockers to make that.
Yeah, or you have the miracle ear going on in your ear. Like when you get that point where you're doing all those things, blue
can't
blockers.
See what your eyes are doing.
Yeah, exactly. You can grab boobs and just out of nowhere and women are like, oh my god, you dirty old man. Dirty old man, don't touch my boob like that.
This son of a bitch looks 15 years younger than his age.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I guess you can't do that yet.
You know what? You showed us a picture of your basement where you're making a kombucha.
Yeah.
I know why you haven't taken me down to the basement. That's where you keep all the young souls that you suck out and absorb their youth. Is that what happens?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I got a stash basement down there.
That's what I thought. Yeah.
Soul-eating basement.
All right.
What are we doing? Oh, no.
Oh, no. Don't forget. Let's talk about what's happening this weekend.
Yeah.
Mind Pump listeners.
Where are we going?
If you would like
where are we going?
If you'd like to come and party with Mind Pump for a little bit.
Whoa, dude, you can invite everybody?
Oh, my God.
Come on down.
Yes.
Wow, party with Mind Pump a little bit.
We're going to party down, baby.
Listen, if you see us, you need to buy Doug a drink.
Yeah.
Yeah. I want to see him get really drunk.
We will actually be
Please
there.
Do.
We will be there.
I'll do a shot with you.
We're going to be there Sunday. What's the date Sunday?
It's Sunday, August 30th from 1 to 6 p.m. We'll be in Santa Clara at 3250 Central Expressway.
The Bay Club, right?
Yeah, it's the Bay Club. So it's a big gym. It's a really, really fancy, nice gym. It'll be a pool party. It's actually a pool party. We'll have a cabana. We'll have bottle service.
Adam's going to have no shirt on. So you make sure you show up.
And whatever. Yeah. I don't know. I might actually be shirted up. I'm not sure how cold it's or how warm it's going to be. So, but hopefully. It is a party. It is open to the public.
We're going to have a cabana there.
If you are a Mind Pump listener and you do see Craig Caperso, the Mind Pump crew, and I all together, make sure you come over and say hi. So even if we are in the cabana, we are not snooty like that and snarky. We would not want to not talk to you or converse with you. Make sure you come walking over, say hi to us, and have a drink with us.
If you want
a
free t-shirt, you can do a shot off of Justin's nipple.
And, free t-shirt. That's a big Boom. Shot.
That's a
Just so you know, I got some pancakes. Good luck.
So yeah, we'll be getting it down. I guess it's said I have not been there. Craig's told me about it. He says it's the kind of like Vegas cabana style. So I'm kind of interested to see what this is going to look like.
Of course, right at the end of my mini bulk, I'm going to show up there all fat and shit.
Yeah, we're a little fluffy right now, but it's okay.
That's
all right.
We're beefcaked out.
It's it's important for these guys to see.
I like how me and Adam are talking about this. Justin's over there. Just
I'm getting lean.
Yeah.
Baby.
He's getting leaner. Look at him.
I know.
I'm trying a little bit.
That's good, dude.
You can't be a fluffer duffer over here all day.
You can't be the duff.
Long.
You can't be the duff. Duff you can't be the duff forever.
Bro, I'm so glad you taught me
forever.
That.
Yeah. You know.
Dude, we were listening to that episode on the way up to Reno. My younger cousin. It's great because that's why I had to explain it to Sal what it was because, you know, the younger generations gets that word. Everybody else heard duff went right over their head. But and the only reason why I know is I actually watched that stupid movie, which you have to watch it because it looks childish. It looks like something that would not be entertaining whatsoever. And it got great reviews. I had so many people tell me you should listen to or watch it.
It's I saw that. I saw it. I didn't even watch it live, but I was looking for movies last night. It's the one with Duff in the title.
It's all it's called is Duff. And it looks like
which is what is it again?
The designated ugly fat friend.
Okay,
so it's pretty funny. It's pretty funny, right. And especially if you go in with the mindset that you're
is
not,
it sober funny or is it not sober?
No,
funny?
No, you can be sober. Okay, I'm pretty sure I was sober.
Okay,
yeah,
pretty sure.
Yeah,
yeah. We used to go
50-50 chance. There's a 50-50 chance.
Doug,
what are we doing?
Q&A
time.
Oh, yes,
gosh,
it is.
All right, start with the first
questions
question.
Questions and answers.
Yeah, the first question is from the Hosenator.
The Hosenator. Yeah. This is a new guy. I like.
It's a two-part question.
That was supposed to be like Schwarzenegger, and it came out Nazi. I apologize.
It's the Hosenator.
Yeah,
it was close.
Yeah.
Close enough. Yeah, Hosenator. Right, there we go. Right, there it is.
I had to find it.
You had to find your voice.
Yeah. Okay, Doug. Sorry.
Okay, the Hosenator has a two-part question. The first part is the best fruit liquid pairing for creatine monohydrate.
What is this, wine?
I was saying,
fucking wine?
I fucking washed that shit down with a cup of water.
And the second part of the question is the most recommended time to take.
All right, so I'm going to give you my funny answer, then I'm going to give you the real answer. First of all, who cares? Just take the powder, throw it in your face,
like
and then
man.
Drink some water.
Yeah.
Like I
Sal
do.
Puts it in every orifice. We talked about this.
I take it, I rub it right in my bonch, and it absorbs.
Leave some for later. Yep. There's trails.
Yep. I just put my dick in the fucking container. And then
I get hungry. So.
Like an ant eater. Yeah. I suck it up and it goes straight to my testicles.
What? Whoa. That's interesting. So,
this show just got inappropriate.
That yeah.
is interesting.
Ooh. For the first time.
All right. So, all right, here's the deal. They did find in studies that a spike in insulin increases the amount of creatine that your body absorbs. So this may be why the Hosenator... God, what a great name.
Back to the Nazi.
Hey, Justin, every time we say that name, you have to say that.
Yeah.
Like that. Okay.
I will.
So,
trust me.
So, the best juice to use would be something with a very high glycemic index. I can't talk English anymore. Grape juice is a good one. So, grape juice and creatine, you should theoretically increase the amount of absorption of the creatine you just took in. Honestly, I think this effect is so nominal that the extra sugar and calories probably aren't worth it.
Well, we've also talked before about, you know, if you're taking creatine on a regular basis, is there really this spike that you get from it? It's not like
once you saturate now, once you saturate your muscles with it, then you're just maintaining. It doesn't really make
exactly.
A difference.
So that I think that's most importantly said right there is that once it's in, you're in your system, you're taking it on a regular basis, whatever dosages you're utilizing, whether it's pill form or powdered form, it's in your system.
Yeah.
You know,
and, and honestly, powder is probably the best. It's, you'll get the you get more product for the same price. Just get pure creatine monohydrate. And then the second part of the question that the
deal with the chalkiness
that the Hosenator. Thank you. He wants to know the best time to take it. The best time to take it
is consistently.
Yeah, no. Yeah.
I like that.
Theoretically, that before your workout, but like Adam was saying, it's your muscle cells are saturated with it, so just take it at any time.
Yeah, there's no loading. We talked about that, right? About the whole loading phase. I mean, really. That's not really relevant.
No. Don't take it like in traffic. Like, don't look at the car next to you and just throw a bunch of powder in your face. Yeah. Because you're likely to get in trouble. Yeah. So that's not a good time to take it. But any other time is probably okay.
I just pictured the Hosenator like doing lines like with the this car.
You know, it's so funny because all the labels always tell you like, you know, 30 minutes before a workout or this or that. So they're getting fed that information. So there's an obvious reason.
Do you know why it says that? Because they want, when you create a specific time on a product, people are more likely to use it regularly. So if I give you creatine, I say take 5 grams daily, you're less likely to use it than if I say take 5 grams daily right after breakfast.
So really?
Right.
That's the theory behind why they do that?
Correct. So sometimes there is a definite benefit to taking it when they tell you, but most of the time it's marketing. No, I didn't. I didn't make that up.
He totally made that up.
You know, and if I did, it makes sense. Does it make sense? Maybe I did make it up.
It makes common sense.
Listen,
we'll
give you parlay.
That's why you got a pass by Justin. I know no one said anything. I just thought to myself, this motherfucker just made this up.
A lot of times I make shit up.
He's Sostradamus.
I make a lot of stuff up.
It's Sostradamus. He gets little gray areas.
But it sounds good.
Yeah. I'm glad you're presenting that. You know, the mind bumper should know this. You know, he presents it all so well.
He's Tony Robbins. He's
why we got this show, though. That's why I brought it up
on
the last episode.
You know what? True story, though. One time I was so wrong, right? I thought I was right. I was so wrong.
But you're actually right.
And because I was actually right.
I know.
Anyway.
True story.
True story. Yeah. All right. Do we go to the next question?
Yeah. The next question is from Chris Tobar, who's one of our forum members.
Oh, my boy Chris.
Yep.
What up, Chris?
He wants to know that. I'm never going to get these things out.
Sorry, Doug. Go ahead.
The top three stupid exercises you guys used to teach.
Oh, so what are the top stupid exercises?
Stupid?
Yeah, Justin, you go first.
Oh, shit.
Well, limit it to three.
Limit to three? Oh, okay. Thanks. Yeah. Good one, dude. I think I was one of those trainers that got sucked into the whole nonsense with anything inflatable.
No!
I was like having people balance on their knees, like doing circus tricks with like, you know, doing a push-up with their hands on the ball and then their feet were on the ball. And then anything with the BOSU ball is just ridiculous and stupid. Stop it. Okay. I know there's a whole thing wrapped around it, but just stop it.
Can you think of three, though? Think of three.
Man, that was dumb. I thought I just said it.
No, that was vague, bro. Come on, that was vague. I need more time to think of three for myself.
Oh, is that what it is? Okay, well, there's plenty of dumb things I've made people do that I just was like, what was I doing with that? But I think that's how you start eliminating things, you know, as far as like what is actually
effective.
Yeah, effective. And what, like, why am I just entertaining you doing this? What am I doing? I think a lot of it had to deal with like old drills. Like, I used to make people do some of these like foot speed kind of drills and things, you know,
football
like
drills.
Yeah, football. It's because like you kind of revert to how you used to train yourself, you know, get
that is
sports.
The biggest thing with new trainers.
It was such an idiot move. Like I had these ladies like high knees stepping and you know what I'm saying?
You
like
you just made me remember
like doing karaoke's and like, you know, doing like W drills, and I'm just like, what am I doing?
Well, I think probably same thing when all the balance stuff came out. Remember, I'd have people stand on the Dynadiscs and do curls. and tries to press down and stupid shit on a dyno disc.
Ugh.
Dumb. Guilty. I want to go back in time and slap myself in the mouth.
I know.
The second thing that I can think of that, or one thing that was really dumb, and this wasn't even, this was probably like 8 years ago maybe. So it wasn't even that long ago, but I don't know where I came up with this idea. I think I was bored and my client was late. So I said, you're going to do the Sal 150. And it became this thing. The Sal 150, and what it was you did. this is how stupid. This is why it's dangerous to have the ability to sell something so well, because you do stupid
people
shit.
People will do,
and
whatever.
It becomes this thing. Yeah. So I would have my clients do backstep lunges, and each rep was one, and they'd have to keep going in however many sets it took to get 150 reps. So like 50 minutes of the workout was
it's
doing
like the whole workout
was doing fucking backstep lunges, and it was the Sal 150, and I made a big deal about it. You're 10 minutes late. We're gonna do the Sal 150. Dumb son of what the fuck.
That's one. Give me two more.
Well, no, I did the Dynadisc curls and shit.
Okay, that's two.
Let me think. What else? Just any super isolation movement that I'd have, like, you know, a regular like concentration curls for my 85-year-old client, or you know, cable crossovers for the, you know, 13-year-old
or
kid,
like
that
those
wants to
prison curls,
build
where
muscles.
You're like leaning over and like, like curling it into your body. And
bro, those are concentration. Those are the real deal. Those are Arnold concentration curls.
Let them hanging out.
Yeah,
that's it. Okay, so
like what about you, Adam?
So
Adam's like, no, I'm not gonna say. Go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead, talk some shit, bro. Yeah. when you guys were seeing that, I was like, fuck, I was just doing with those with my clients last week, right? Now. Just kidding. So Justin reminded me of one. The first one, though.
Anything with a Smith machine.
I did do, you know what? I learned really quick that the Smith machine was, do you know the Smith machine was technically designed for upper body? Did you know that?
Wow.
It was designed for upper body.
No, I don't know what it was designed for other than wussies trying to look strong.
It was not designed for anything lower body, but yet most people utilize that shit for, you know, split stance lunges and squatting and everything else. But anyways, back to what I did do that was stupid. So I definitely did one of my favorite moves to teach a lot of my clients was the single leg deadlift to a bicep curl to a shoulder press on a standing on the backside of a Bosu ball.
Whoa!
So you would be on a Bosu ball upside down.
I love the complicated million move exercise.
You'd be standing on a stability on the Bosu ball upside down, so it's on the unstable part, on the round ball part, and then they get in the center and they're balancing on one leg with dumbbells, and they would do a single leg deadlift, come up to a balance bicep curl up to a press over their head on the Bosu ball.
Oh my god!
So literally,
you reminded me of one.
Right? I knew when you did. So when you told one, we'll go back around because they're probably these exercises will probably get dumber as we remember. Because obviously, if it was stupid, slap. It didn't take. And we're pretty smart guys. It didn't take us long before we figured out that was probably pretty stupid. We moved on from that part of our life.
We basically would take exercises and combine them. Yeah. And make them into something like into a new exercise.
Yeah, you thought that like, well, we need to burn more calories. Yeah. You're gonna how do you do that? But like, add more complex movement.
And I can tell you right now that I had a presentation and a pitch for all of it too. You know, I could break it all down.
Well, it's hard. Try and do that exercise on the Bosu ball, and it's real hard.
Yeah, and it's cool. People watching are like, whoa.
Except if there's guys like us watching, they're thinking,
burpee, kick, squat, jump to pull up, back down.
That sounds
to
like
a
some,
crunch.
That sounds like some CrossFit shit, right?
Exactly.
There. That sounds like some CrossFit.
This is pre-CrossFit.
Wait a minute. Did you invent it?
I did.
Yeah. You invented it?
You're welcome. Yeah. dumbass world.
So
I gave you my pile of shit and you ran with it.
Here's another one.
God.
Here's another one I used to
there's
do.
Justin does this. There's a line.
Yeah.
And me and Adam tend to like bounce on the line to talking shit. Justin, there is no line.
No, there's no line.
No, he's like in the Matrix. You know,
the line's
like,
invisible.
You know, in the Matrix when the kid, they're like, there is no spoon. This is Justin's like, there is no line.
There's no line. It's invisible. I can't see it.
It's called, that's it.
So
digest it.
I used to do this one and I used to love it. This is so funny. Now that I'm thinking about it, the clients that I've had do this, I hope they're not listening right now. I used to go.
I know all these clients that are listening, like, fuck, you used to train me shitty.
And let's back up. There's a lot of good still going on in them. Even when we're admitting the shitty exercise we used to do, but I think there's still a lot.
We were like experimenting, though. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, we're figuring it out.
Very
a
good.
Bit.
Very good. Yeah. I like to look at it like that, too.
That's how I was saying.
I like to experiment.
So, one of the other experimented exercises I used to do I used to take the clients into either the group X room or the basketball court. And I used to take it like a 12-pound medicine ball. And we'd stand on one side, on the same side of the room together. And I'd say, okay, you have to have your hand on the wall. And then I'm going to throw this medicine ball. I'm going to roll it as fast as I possibly can.
Oh, no, I did the same thing.
I'm going to roll it as fast as I can.
And you got to go get it before it
hits. And you got to catch it before it hits the other side of the wall. Yep. And if it hits the other side of the wall before you catch it, you got to give me 15 push-ups. And then you got to throw it back to me and then come back and we do it again. So I would do that. Of course, I would start rolling the ball faster and faster each time to where they're starting to dive on the floor to catch it before it slides.
Bro, you're just running your clients around like a fucking dick. I'm laughing because I know in your mind, you're like, run, motherfucker, run.
Oh, yeah, bro. I was hucking that thing.
Go get it.
If you were so fast, you would get it before I would make sure that you missed sometimes. You would definitely be doing some push-ups. Wow. Or something. So, yeah. And clients that were competitive would be diving on the floor to save it from hitting the wall and sliding.
That's great.
And I had a few of those slide and go crashing into the wall.
There's not that big of a difference between personal training and hazing sometimes. It feels like.
Yeah, seriously.
Ooh. So those two are the first that come right to my mind that I used to do that were pretty silly. And then I had to agree with Justin. I did some pretty funny, like, you know, feet on the stability ball, hands on a medicine ball type push-up, you know, exercises. Those were pretty redonkulous. I mean, I did that quite a bit.
The worst is when your client, like that's their favorite thing that they think you can show off.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I had one client, and you know who it is. Yeah. He thought, like that was the coolest thing ever, this older guy. And he would do these two-ball push-up in front of, like, if there was girls in the gym, he would take two balls, and he would go right next to them and start pushing up and, like, you know, give him, like, the head nod, like, yeah. What's up?
Like
check like out. They're all impressed.
Check out my balls.
It's like, dude, what are you doing?
God, I
created a monster.
I just remembered, fuck, this is horrible. So this was when I first became a trainer. So this is when I was 18 years old, long time ago. At the time, I had read Mike Mentzer's Heavy Duty. You guys familiar with that book? Heavy Duty? Mm-mm. So Mike Mentzer was this like bodybuilder in the 70s, pretty popular, but he had this theory on exercise that he got from the guy who invented Nautilus equipment, Arthur Jones, which was all you had to do is one set to failure, and that's all you had to do for a muscle.
Okay, you've talked about this guy before.
Right. Okay, so I had a client, and it was this little guy, David. I won't say his last name, Asian dude, and he wanted to build muscle. So that's what we do. He would come in, and we would pick, like, four body parts, and we'd do one set to failure for each body part. But it was, like, absolute ass of the wall, like crazy failure, and then he'd leave. But the workout would last like 15 minutes, and then he was done, and he'd walk out. And that's probably the worst thing I ever did. Because he'd come in, I'd fucking load him up on the hack squat, and I'd do like a strip set, like, go! And he'd be like, oh, look like fire! You know, because he had kind of a bad accent. And he'd have like, he'd be like, oh, it was horrible.
You know,
his legs would be bleeding.
You reminded me of how when I first started as a trainer, I used to do the single leg balance on the Dynadisc and have them do like a straight bar curl with like 20 pounds. But what I would do that was so important to this and how I made it to where it was so bad. This is how I sold training, bro, all day. Because first of all, standing on one foot for the average person, especially when they're 30, 40, 50 plus years old and they haven't exercised really, it's already hard enough. Yeah. Put them on a stability, a Dynadisc like that, really hard. And then put some weight in there and then teach them to try and bicep curl it or do something. And then they're all over the place. And so what I would do is I would take like a good sized buff guy and hand him like some really light weights, you know, like knowing that he could do so much more weight than that and be like, all right, this is what we're going to do. And then I would make him bounce and I would just be so technical, pulling his shoulders back and elbows pinned by your side and slowing down the negative 4 seconds and making every, and he'd be like sweating, like trying to balance on this thing to curl. And I'd be like, right? See, and this is the problem with most people that work out here. See, most people come in here and they do machines or these traditional exercises, and what they're not doing is they're not training their body the right way. They're not training the body from the inside out, which is what I'm going to do with you. What I'm going to do is
I'm going to get them super confused.
I'm going to train the inside of your body out. And that's what's way more. That's the foundation of your body. That's what supports your spine. And we both know that's far more important than anything else.
I'll take 10 sessions, please. Damn.
So, all right. Such good.
Listen, we're good now.
We just crucified ourselves.
We're really good now, I promise.
You realize that.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, nobody wants to train with us.
I know.
You know what sucks?
Credibility over.
Well, look, let's also look. This was a long time ago that we were doing this.
Yeah, really long time ago.
Even though we did the shit, we were still way better than most trainers.
Yeah.
Oh.
So what does that tell you?
Yeah, exactly.
Whoopsies.
That tells you that there was some shit out there, especially back then. The quality of trainers has gone up quite a bit.
Yeah.
For the good ones, but there's like so many more non-trainer fitness professionals out there that just kind of bring the whole average down.
You know, I don't know if it's just the gyms I've been going into or what, but I got to tell you guys, it's pretty rare that somebody impresses me. I don't know about you guys, but when I'm working out and I actually see, I can see a really good trainer, and I'm drawn to watching them.
Yeah,
you know, I'll be working out. I'll be staring at them. Because I actually want to learn. I can tell he's really smart, or he's teaching them something, or you know,
most trainers just plug their clients in machines.
Yeah,
that's what most of them do. Those machines.
So irritating.
Right.
Yeah. I remember like because I go to this family.
Here comes
gym.
The Lane Crosser.
I'm not.
It was such a good call right there because it was coming.
Dude. He was about to.
It was coming.
It wasn't. You would have seen it because I would have started shaking. Yeah.
You did a little twitch, bro.
Oh,
you
did a little here twitch. It comes.
He was about to say something. So all my stupid
Everybody's
clients.
Everybody's
going to
die.
He's going to say something off the wall.
Yeah. No. Thanks for totally distracting me there. I did
it irritate you.
So I was at this gym I go to. It's like this total family friendly gym. We only go there because like it has an awesome kids club and everything. It has like the worst training I've ever seen. It's so painful to watch. It's just like,
what's the name of the gym?
No, I'm not gonna put it out there. But you almost got me though.
I know.
That would have been the Line Crosser. But yeah, this elder lady, like she's, I don't know, maybe like Doug's age, you know. But she's training this other lady, and she's like taking half of the time to just explain like these machines and how they work. And I'm like, just look at the fucking picture right there. Really? Is this your training session? This is what you're learning today? I was like so irritated. I'm like, what are you going to do that's actually going to benefit her today?
You know, that's probably something else that we did. We all probably did bad too. I'd say I was a victim of putting clients on machines when we first started, for sure. You know, absolutely. When
it's
you
easy.
First started, yeah, you would design programs. It was like, you know.
Yeah, if you're lazy and you're tired or whatever.
She didn't even use any like technical terms. She's just like, you're going to feel this here and be like, and like, poke at her. I'm like, seriously?
You can't even say bicep or anything.
I hate that. Just like poking at, prodding this poor lady the whole time, you know. Like,
oh.
You should be feeling right here.
Oh, I forgot to tell you guys. That trainer that works in the gym that I just sold, but I still train in.
Yes.
That one that gets on my goddamn nerves.
Uses up half the gym.
Uses up all the fucking equipment and just fucking little snarky little bitch.
Yeah.
She's gone.
Oh, really?
She's gone, yeah.
But like left on her own?
She died. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, God.
You're the Line Crosser, man. Doug, you're the Line Crosser.
Doug, this is...
We got to edit this episode.
This is the reason why...
She didn't die. She left. She's somewhere else now. So that's all.
Doug, this is why you think...
I'm
going
to make a public apology to soccer, guys.
You think our growth is stagnant with Mind Pump is because every time we freaking gain 10,000 listeners, we lose fucking 10,000. That's why.
And we just lost her. She's one of our biggest fans.
No.
She loved us.
Next question, Doug.
Yeah, moving along.
Yeah, the next one's from Mitchell Cochran.
Team change.
Wait, say his name again?
Mitchell Cochran.
Okay.
Not
Cochran.
Yeah, okay. Justin.
He loves it.
He's not only a forum member, but he also posted to Instagram.
Thanks, Mitchell.
He's asking if there's anything that Mind Pumpers can do to support Mind Pump. This is a question I like.
Of course, you like that.
Yeah.
Tell your friends.
Maybe Doug should answer it.
Okay, go, Doug.
We talked about this on another episode, and that is iTunes reviews.
Yeah, leave good reviews for us. Mm-hmm. There you go.
Is that it?
Rate and review.
This guy's asking to do all kinds of work. Yeah, that's all you got?
And tell people.
Well,
about
I still
it.
Like. Yeah, I still like the reach outs to like other people.
Reach
like,
outs, reach
trying
arounds.
To get us or like get us like people to interview that are cool, have a good following.
Well, here's what I like.
So we get exposed to new audiences.
Well, here's what I've seen now. This has happened now the past couple weeks. That's fucking awesome. So there are a few podcasts that we love here on Mind Pump. We love Joe Rogan. We love the Joe Rogan show. We love the fighter and the kid. And so what a lot of our fans have done is they've tried to flood
your mama's house.
Exactly. They've tried to flood their Instagram and Twitter pages and all that stuff, telling them to interview us, to bring us on their show. Of course, that would give us a huge boost in listeners, but we love those. And we're going to be real. Like, most shows we don't like, we actually enjoy those shows.
Yeah.
So yeah, if you want to help us out, go on Joe Rogan's page and just flood the show. tell him to bring us on a show.
Don't bother that poor guy.
No. He's got
enough on his plate.
Anything else, Doug?
Just tell people, your friends, family.
Send naked pictures to Doug.
I'm really behind too on some of my paperwork and client folders. Yeah, I need to update. So if I could, maybe Mitchell could give me his address, I'll mail some of those over to him. He could actually do some, start writing some programs for me.
That's a good idea.
I'm just kidding, bro.
No. Thanks for the question, Mitchell. All right.
We appreciate it. What's the next one here?
Next one is from Adrian_V. His son is 12 years old. And he's asking, what is the earliest age that kids should start working?
I'm going to throw this out there.
As soon as you put him on steroids, you can get him in the gym right away.
Right away. Whoa. I'm going to make a bet right now that the V at the end of his name stands for victory, because this is a great question. The earliest.
What?
That was awful.
What just happened there?
That was so awful. We need to stop and talk about how awful that was.
Yeah, no. So there's Adrian and there's an underscore and a V.
For victory.
So you saw victory.
I did.
Because the question was so good?
It was so good.
Oh, wow.
So
it's so awful. Listen,
that feels like, that feels really forced.
It feels
yeah, I think
like,
that was
sounds, like non-entry.
Totally.
Like kind of forced.
Like you should
like
reach,
dry.
You should reach over and punch him in the cock.
That was dry.
Just reach over a soft little punch.
Get
right
a little
in
lube in there next time.
Open hand, though. Open-handed. Yeah.
Yeah. Wait for the opening.
Why don't you try that one more time, Sal?
All right, Adrian, let me answer your question. The earliest age a kid can start working out is any age. They can work out at any age. There's a lot of myths surrounding
stunting your growth.
Yeah. The amount of weight that would be required to stunt a child's growth is way more weight than they would be able to lift. So really, as long as they can lift the weight under control, then they should be able to work out. Here's the thing, though. When kids are young, like 10 or 9 or younger,
their proprioception is way off.
They've got really bad balance, balance with their body. So closed chain movements tend to be better. Like teaching them how to do push-ups and standing squats and lunges, instead of having them lift weights that they have to balance above their head and then can potentially drop.
And it's really about keeping them super, you know, active and moving and outside and doing things. Right. I mean, that's the biggest focus. If you can just like keep it simple with kids, like you don't want to like make this into a process, like it's a program, like you know, make it fun for them. If they're gonna work out because it's fun, then you know,
yeah,
do
if
it
if they like it, take them to the gym
for sure. Yes. My kids already want to like work out with me, so, which is awesome.
I have a couple points to be made on this that I think that's important. One, if the interest the kid has is very, very important. I don't like training kids. It's one of my least favorite things to do. I'd rather train some 90-year-old lady in the gym than I would train some 12-year-old kid. And the reason for
he just offended two different opposite sides of the spectrum at one time.
That's right. I think a majority of our people fall between 20 middle. And 60, so I'm okay. Anyways, the reason for that is just because there's nothing more challenging than trying to motivate and trying to teach somebody who doesn't want to learn and doesn't want to be there. And that's a lot of your 12-year-old kids would rather be playing video games or out kicking a soccer ball around.
Yeah.
So getting him to train properly and focus and go at what I said about proprioception, that they don't have, like Sal said, that balance, that mind muscle connection. So they take a lot of work actually to teach how to do that. And if you're a dad or a mom and you want to bring your kid in the gym and he's 12 years old, you probably should really know your form really well, or look into hiring a personal trainer, because that's where I think a lot of the generic age thing comes in, or the, you know, the fear of what he could do. Like, yeah, no, he could definitely hurt himself if he's awkwardly pressing freaking 80 pounds over his head and he only weighs 80 pounds. And, you know, his hips are all sliding all over the place and his one arm's up higher than the other. Like, yeah, absolutely. He could definitely hurt himself by doing that. So, you know, teaching him proper form and biomechanics. And that's actually hard to do. So if you are a parent that doesn't feel very confident in teaching biomechanics yourself, you know, that might be something that you definitely would do. Or the other option is to stick to a lot of body weight movements, which tends to be the safer thing. Like Sal said, push-ups, body weight squats, you know, jump squatting, running, lunging, you know, doing basic movements like that, keeping them active is probably the safer route. But, you know, if I would love, I hope my kid, when I have one, is going to want to lift weights at 12 years old. I would love to teach my kid.
That's when I started. Yeah. I was about 12.
Yeah, I would love to teach my kid how to lift weights at 12 years old and teach them biomechanics and form. That way, when they get in their teens, they have they know how to lift and lift right.
Well, see, yeah, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, I've trained a handful of kids, and there's really only been, I could say, maybe one or two that like were mentally prepared to actually listen and be coached.
Yeah.
And not just have romper room and like playtime, because that's what I literally would turn it into, that because I wanted them to have a great experience, and it's about fun and it's about them enjoying themselves and not, you know, because you don't want to like take that away. You want it to be an enjoyable experience so that they'll continue it later on when they're a little more serious. But the kids that were serious, oh my God, did I have great results with them, because it just was that hunger. And some kids have it and some kids don't. And you just don't, you can't force that. And you'll see it right away. Like, oh, yeah,
you know right away.
Yeah, they'll ask you the right questions and they actually apply like everything you told them to do. It is like amazing. It's the best feeling. I had this kid that just went through this whole process. He got into rugby and he advanced his scholastic, his academics went up, everything as a result, because it's just like that thing, you know, that they get super focused on. Everything around them like gets, like their grades go up, like everything, because they're so focused now.
Yeah.
They have a goal and they have a mission, and that's really rewarding. But that said, like training the other kids.
Yeah.
Dude.
Brutal. I'm in the exact place as you. I can count on one hand how many awesome kids I've trained. And we do not have enough hands and feet in this room to count all the kids that were pains in the ass that I trained. And so it's just a smaller percentage. But you're right. You get a kid who is eager to learn, and like he has got that, he's already an athlete. You know what I'm saying? She or he is already an athlete, and you can see it in them the moment you start, because the moment you start coaching them and teach them, they're already engaged in you, the way they're looking at you, you know?
Yeah.
Then you get the other kids that are like, you know,
just feeding
tapping
off,
their feet and like looking off, and like you're trying to explain detail.
Well,
and
you know,
like,
the other thing too
not
is
even, not even here.
Well, the other thing too, yeah, is if you're training your son, if this is your kid, and you're gonna, and he's gonna have this experience with you to work out.
Yeah, it's very cool.
Then it's cool. So make it cool, because right, it's sometimes when you're with your kid, you want to correct everything and you want them to get all serious about it. You know, I'll use myself as an example. My son's 10 years old, and by the time when he's 12 or 13, I'm gonna want to take him to the gym, but I'm gonna make it like a fucking event. I'm gonna make it a big deal. Like, we're going to go to the gym, and then afterwards we're going to go get lunch together, and we're going to do something cool together. So this is all about spending time with dad, and he connects having a good time, yeah, with going to the gym.
It's an event.
Exactly. I don't want to make it a bad experience for him, because this is something I hope will stick with him for a lifetime. Because in my position, or even in you guys, you know, Adam, if you have kids, and Justin, you're to do, you know, because we're so into fitness and whatnot, we can turn our kids off.
Oh,
you know, a lot
absolutely
of times kids would bail and go the opposite direction. So I don't want my son or my daughter to feel that pressure to, yeah, do it. Well, I want them to feel good about it and have fun.
Yeah, that's the immediate struggle I have with sports, because I was so sports driven as a kid, and also like later on, like I played, you know, every sport I could in four sports a year, you know, and I just loved it instantly. And like, I don't necessarily see that with my oldest, you know, right away. And it's like, part of me is like, I just want to like get him on these teams and get him into it. And like, you know, then he'll really get into it.
You'll
and
do
I
the
just,
opposite.
I just have, yeah, to like, and I thank God, like, I don't know, I've talked to enough people that have had kids in sports or whatever, or just like, you know, being more rational now as I'm older, kind of stepping out of that and being like, okay, you know, like I really have to understand what really motivates him, and you know, to pursue those things, but then also challenge him, you know, by trying new things and trying this, and then seeing if that's something that will pick up or not. If not, it's okay. You know, it's not something that I'm going to ride my ego on and be like, my kid has to play football because I play football.
No,
you know,
you'll
like
turn
that
him
kind
off
of nonsense. Yeah,
you'll turn him off.
Well, I mean, I think I've learned so much from being around you guys, being parents and not having a kid. which is awesome for me because I think of things like, wow, I would have never really thought about that, but how important of a conversation this is right now about having a, you know, young child somewhere between that 8 to 15 year old range, and they're thinking about getting in. You want them to start working out because you're about health and fitness, and there's the message you got to be careful of, because, you know, society places a lot of it on the whole, what my field is, the aesthetic, the look, being pretty and being fit. That's what it's all about. Even so much that it drives the adults that way, that, you know, I just want to look good in that dress, or I just want to feel. And be careful, you know, are you making your kid come in because you think he's getting, he or she's getting fat or out of shape, and how you're motivating them to work out and why you're having them work out, you know? And you've talked about this before, about how you've talked about food issues with kids, and, you know, you don't say it like, you know, you don't, you know, eat this because this will make you fat, or this, you'll give your kid a complex or an issue doing that, is relating it to energy and strength and feeling good. And I think this, the same approach goes with the gym. You know, we're not lifting here at the gym to make you look better, you know, or be a certain way. It's, you know, so you feel better and you're strong. And when you play sports or when you lift things up, you can.
Well, even with the weights, it's not even going to be that. I'm going to tell my son, we're going to go hang out. Like, you're right. you're lifting weights because you get to hang out with me. Yeah. And he knows that I love lifting weights so much that I get to include him into this great time that we get to have together. And that's all it's going to fucking be. I don't care if we have a shitty workout, because I know if he does it long enough, he'll eventually get into it.
Yeah.
So I'm just gonna be like, hey, you get to come to the gym with me. I already told him. I've been telling him, listen, in a couple of years, you get to come to the gym with me. We're gonna have a freaking great time.
Yeah.
We're gonna work out. Then we're gonna go get some lunch. Then we're gonna go, you know, to play video game, whatever. To him, it's gonna be time with dad. And then eventually, he's gonna. Hopefully, the goal is eventually he has that good feeling, you know, in regards to exercise, and it becomes something he wants to do on his own. Because, you know, there's a lot of parents out there that hammer their kids. I know people. Shit. I know people who were amazing athletes in high school, and after high school they stopped because their parents hammered them so much to do right. The sport, they just want to get the fuck out of it.
Yeah.
And they actually ruined their opportunity. And now that they're, you know, some of these people are my clients in their 40s, and they're like, God, I wish I stuck with swimming. I could have been a college champion, but I got out of it because my parents would push me into it.
That's
so much.
Interesting though, because you see the switch there. Like, so you see somebody like, you know, the Williams sisters, or, you know, Tiger Woods, or, you know, their parents are fucking crazy. But they've made and molded these kids into like insane athletes.
I don't think it's the parents molding them. I think it's the children leading the parents and the parents pushing them.
Uh-huh.
Because it's kind of this type of relationship. There's a certain kind of personality.
Well, let's talk
of
about
a child that works with that, uh-huh, and it's rare.
Well, and let's be honest, though, if you've ever heard Rousey talk about her relationship with her mom, and if you know anything about Tiger Woods and obviously his adulthood and what he's like, they're not, that's not healthy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, I know. I'm not saying it is at all. Yeah. I'm just saying that there's like,
yeah, there's
that level, right, of commitment, discipline, and like pursuit that it creates the 1%, you know, and it's, and really is, you have to like weigh it out of what you want to benefit your kid the most, and not, and like, I know where you're going with this, but it doesn't always. Not only does it not always, it more often than not, I'd say like 99% of the time will totally turn the kid off to any sport.
We have to look at the realities. Let's look at the realities and the statistics, okay? All the people listening, all the parents, including myself and Justin, we all like to think how special our kids are and how fucking awesome they are, and they're so different and they're so special. Most, the huge odds are that your kid's normal.
Yeah.
They're average. And no matter what amount of training you No matter what amount of training you give them, they're not going to be a professional anything, you know, in terms of sport. So you're better off just getting them to be happy and healthy and vibrant. And the reality is, if they are that 0.1% with that crazy talent and that crazy combination of talent and work
you'll
ethic
know it
and drive,
super early.
You'll fucking know it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
yeah.
I'm not making any, you know, craziness.
When your 4-year-old picks up a football
totally
and throws
agree,
it 50
yeah.
yards, it's yeah. just all natural, right? There's kids like that just do freaky
Dude,
shit.
But that's it. Yeah, like, there's signs like way early for sure. I mean, if you have the athletics and it's just like singing and other sorts of talents that like you can't. I mean, you can work hard at something and get good. Mm-hmm. But there's just a factor that is outside of your control. Like, you can't get to that greatness unless you have already started with that built into your mechanism.
It's a combination of things, right? But you got to have that.
You have to have
it. You have to have that.
Yeah, I mean, obviously you improve off of that as you, you know, as your body grows and everything, and you train it properly. But I mean, there's that, that X factor is what takes the good to great.
Well, you also, you know, look at all the thing, all the factors that will take your child and make them, you know, a happy, healthy, successful adult. Working hard, mm-hmm. being healthy, being able to find their happiness and who they are. So those are the most important things. The whole, like, take them to an elite level, and you know, that's you know, I, like we're saying, you'll know that if it's already showing up in them, and then they'll kind of guide you. But don't push so hard that you make your kid hate you. Yeah. And hate life, and then not be a happy person. Yeah. There's way more people.
Much that, recommend against it. Let's just
yeah,
say that.
Yeah,
yeah, it's not a good idea.
Well, look, my son's in judo. He's been doing judo now for about a year. Mm-hmm. I don't say shit about it.
Yeah.
He goes in, especially when he first started. He gets his ass kicked because that's what happens when you first start. Plus, yeah. my son takes after me. He's going to be a skinny kid. I don't say nothing. He gets up, and you know what I comment on is I always tell him, "Man, I saw how you got that guy threw you, but you got back up and you went after him again." Like, I comment on his tenacity and his hardworking
right, the work.
Ability. And,
hard work.
And now it's kind of, it's funny. He had a tournament, it's about 3 months ago. And it's funny because he's such a little twin of mine, a little clone. I hated that kind of competition at that age. I was just nervous. I don't want to do it. I don't want to put myself out there in a physical competition because of fear of losing in front of people. It's just something I didn't want to. I didn't get over that until much later. Of course, if you got me to talk, I'd talk in front of everybody, which hasn't changed. But the whole competitive fitness aspect or physical aspect, I hated. He's the same way. So we show up to the school, and he's been telling me he doesn't want to do tournaments. And I'm like, fine, I don't care. Don't do tournaments. Just go have a good time. We show up to the school, and there's a fucking surprise tournament at the school. And we're already there, dressed out, ready to go. So he looks at me, and he's like, Papa, I don't want to do a tournament. I'm like, listen, if you don't want to, you don't have to. If they call you up, you tell the coach, I don't want to compete right now. And then they can't force you. So he says, okay. So I gave it to him, knowing full well that decision to tell your coach to not compete is probably going to be more difficult.
Yeah, than telling your dad that you don't want to.
Then exactly, like that's going to be hard. But I gave it to him. I don't want him. I don't want to be the one to tell him
to pressure him.
Yeah,
also.
No, son, you go up there, stop being a pussy. I don't want to say any of that. I said, listen, that's fine. You tell your coach if you don't want to do it. It's up to you. So he went up there. Sure enough, he competes. Goes against the first person. The kid throws him. And it wasn't a full ippon, which means it wasn't a full point. So he didn't lose, so they still had time in the match. So my son's down. He looks right up at me as soon as he gets thrown. And I give him a big thumbs up, like, yeah, good job. So I'm not disappointed in him. But I'm like, just keep going. Don't worry about it. And something went off in my boy, and he went after that kid, and he won. Then he won the next match, and he won the third match. He won all three matches, and it was totally – I didn't have to push him. I didn't have to – and after he was done, I said, man – good job, son. I saw that you worked hard and you've learned a lot. I didn't say good job that you won. Good job that you beat. I said, look, I saw that kid throw you and then you came back at him and you didn't give up. And I can tell you're working hard. I can tell you've learned a lot. And I'm trying to instill that into him, not the whole pressure. Because I know he already puts a lot of pressure on himself. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Just like I did. I put so much pressure on myself. The last thing I needed was my dad to tell me that, you know, I didn't do good enough. Because
yeah,
then right. I fucking want to quit. Forget it. I don't want to do it anymore.
That is so smart.
So.
Very few people. That's great, 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 great wise words for sure, bro.
So, what do you
ask question?
We got one more, Doug?
Yeah, we got one more from JJ Wow 30. What do you think of cleanses? And an example JJ Wow gives is Wild Rose Cleanse.
Are either one of you familiar with that one? I don't
know. I'm not familiar with the Wild Rose Cleanse, but
sounds
I hate the word cleanse because it sounds like you're dirty and something on the inside, you know, you're dirty on the inside and something needs to clean you out. Like if I drink this drink, it's going to clean out all the, and here's another word I hate, toxins out of my body. Yeah.
It's like Drano. You
yeah.
know,
here's
the
what,
body.
Here's what cleanses actually do. There are some cleanses that are healthy, but they're not really supplemental cleanses. They're more like a fast or.
Yeah. I was going to say, isn't every like cleanse, like the real root of it is that it's a fast.
It's yeah,
all, it's you all, know, and yeah, the, and then they're really just is. They're fluffing it up with low calories by adding like
cucumber
more greens
juice
and or some kind of pepper cayenne concoction.
Here's
with lemon.
Here's the way you could properly use a cleanse. A cleanse in the body, and I'm just using the term because that's what the JWoww asked. You're trying to change the atmosphere of your body. You're kind of trying to change gears. So one of the best ways to do that I found, utilizing a fast, which we have a fasting guide, which you can get, and we'll teach you how to use that properly. The second way is to change your eating for a couple days. So if you eat meat on a regular basis, do vegan diet for 2 days.
Vegan approach,
yes. Right, because what that'll do is it'll change the enzymes in your system. It'll change the your biosphere, all the bacteria in your gut will change. And so it's not it's a cleanse in the sense that it changes things. So if you want to do a cleanse, that's one way I recommend it. Go vegan for a day or two and then go back to normal. Or if you're vegan, well, I guess you couldn't throw meat in, but I would do, you know, another way to do it would be to switch up your macros, you know, high carb, low carb, stuff like that, or just do a fast. You were going
to
say, Adam?
I wanted to read it to you real quick. And the reason why I wanted to read it, because I start reading it, I don't even have to finish the rest of the paragraph to see it looks just like every, the same, they do this, and it's so funny to me, all these cleanses. And there's always like some fancy combination of shit. Like this one happens to be almonds, brown rice, fish, garlic, ginger, onions, and herbal tea. Is complemented by three varieties of herbal tablets on a herbal exact tincture that are to be taken twice daily. So this is what, you know, it's a 12-day herbal cleansing program designed to enhance metabolism and support the liver and intestines to promote proper digestion and eliminate toxins and waste.
You know what else does that? You know what does that? Fasting.
Exactly.
Yeah, I know. That's a wild rose.
Yeah, yes. This is a wild rose. And it, you know, it's just like every other. The other one, so then there's a lemon tea extract one, mushroom tea one, cabbage something one. There's a fucking cleanse for everything where all the benefits of all of them are exactly what that says in the first two sentences. 99% of those benefits are coming from the fast, meaning that and in this case, you're not 100% fasting, right? Because there's foods they allow you, but you're at such a restricted level of calories that you're getting similar benefits as what a full-on fast, a full-on fast would be better. Right? Would you guys agree?
It would. Yeah, if you're healthy enough to do a fast, that's the best way to do it.
So
this is like the the weak sauce fast.
It is. And all they're doing is basically, because now it's a 12-day, and we wouldn't recommend fasting for 12 days, obviously. Our fasts are recommended that you do intermittently. And
the way we break down a fast is you maximize the benefits of the fast and minimize the detriment. So you're maximizing performance at the same time.
Yeah.
Because right. With a 12-day fast, let me break some news to you. You're going to suck in the gym. You're going to lose some muscle.
Super fatigued.
And you're going to feel like shit. Yeah. So with a fast done properly, your performance will increase in the gym. Look, we just had somebody comment today on the forum that the best workouts they've ever had have happened recently, and she attributes it to the fact that she's training fasted, but doing it the proper way, the way that maximizes performance.
So yeah. I want to go deeper into this stuff because I think this is
always
important.
Going deeper.
I know that this is important. I think because there's so many. I hear it a lot, and so these things that go on. They say the promise, a dramatic increase in energy and overall feeling of the well-being according to the materials in the kit. So what's involved? The diet heavy on almonds, brown, all the things I told you guys, the extract, tincture, yada, yada, yada. And then it tells you about all the different vegetables and things and fruits that they're eating. So the benefits of the digestion and the liver and your metabolism, okay? Like we said, 99% of that's coming from the fast. And then the other stuff that is added benefits are the types of foods that you're adding into your diet. Well, instead of doing this 12-day cleanse where you introduce all these nutrient-rich foods, you should do a much shorter fast, get the same benefits, and then start including those nutrient-rich foods in your fucking regular diet.
Yeah, no, I was going to say the same. Dude, so what they're doing is they're giving you a prescriptive formula. So what they're doing is they're telling you exactly what to do. Because people, if you tell them that, if you tell them eat whole foods, and like what was that? You know, they just don't, it doesn't register in their head.
Yeah. It doesn't
that
sell.
That it's like
it doesn't
just
sell.
Nutrient-rich food. That's all it is. It's not processed. It's not like, you know, it doesn't live in a container. It's not on a shelf somewhere. It's something you're going to go to the farmer's market and you're just going to stick with that and then do like a fast along with it. You know, there you go. There's my cleanse.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you really want to take advantage of the fast, there's a right way to do it. We actually put together a guide that breaks it down, and we still have it available, I believe.
Absolutely.
Pretty inexpensive. Mindpumpradio.com?
Yes.
But the best way to utilize a fast is to do it frequently. Short fast. To do them, you know, once a week, three times a week. Some of us, I go 10 to 14-hour fasts almost daily myself.
Dude.
And that's really the best way to use it.
What we should do, and the three of us could do this easily, very fast. within the same day. We should create a 12-day fast. We'll pick some super nutrient rich and antioxidant full foods that we'll include, that will create, you know, it'll be like wild berries, this and some blueberries here.
It's gotta be an exotic one.
Yeah. Like, you know, half a cup of kale every day, you know, we'll prescribe.
The acai's been overdone.
And then we'll talk
a new one.
We'll talk about all the crazy benefits that you get because of all those nutrients and all the benefits you're going to be getting, cause you're at a restricted caloric intake.
Called the 12-day reset. Yeah. Reset your body.
The
to
reset, Clint, the mind pump
eat,
cleanse.
Like, really obscure, like,
it'd be so easy to do that. And, so that, yeah. and I think that's the point that I think we're trying to get across right now, is that it's not the cleanse.
Lots of cumin.
Cleanse is bad for you. It's just a joke. It's a fucking joke. There is nothing that beneficial about what you're really doing. And let me tell you this too. The most common thing I see after these cleanses is fucking, woo, cleanse
rebound.
Is over. Let's get down.
Let's truck down some In-N-Out.
Yeah, exactly. Let's go get drunk. You know, like it's what are we doing? We're not really
doing livers feel so great.
Yeah. At the end of the day, if a new diet type thing or cleanse requires that you take supplements, they're probably trying to sell
they're
supplements.
They're selling you. I was going to say.
They're selling you the supplements. Do we include supplements? Do we include supplements with our guide?
We don't.
No, because you know why? Because we're not trying to sell you supplements.
You're not crooked.
Yeah. Because it's not bullshit.
Although we would be a lot richer.
Yeah.
If we did.
Actually, speaking of which.
We keep trying, man. When are we going to have some?
Maybe we can edit this out. I don't know. But what do you guys think about that supplement we've been testing so far?
So far. I don't want to put my stamp on until I get this weekend under my belt.
All right. I've been having great sleep.
And the sleep, right?
Boners.
you've noticed the boners.
I got
dude,
the boners,
libido,
bro.
Yeah,
see, boner. I'm really, this week is a big, so I, you know, so far so good.
Okay,
but I'm gonna be the hardest one to probably.
Well,
get to.
Is this a,
I haven't been taking like literally anything, like no supplement. I don't even really eat any protein powder or anything. So, I mean, I'm kind of like one of the perfect ones to do this with.
Well, I mean, it's gonna be a long process. This might be a little premature, but we're testing it now. We've seen the science, and then I think we'll have other people test it, like clients and stuff, and then take it from there. Because I don't want to promote anything that isn't like straight legit.
Would we be held liable? Maybe we, you know, it'd be kind of fun, Doug. Tell me if this is something where we get in trouble or not. So we might have to.
Well, probably since you're asking, we probably
says I'm an attorney.
Well, you're the first step before we call the attorney, right? So, how cool would it be if we actually did some sort of cool competition or contest like we're doing with the reviews, and we give a couple bottles of this out as a free kicker for them, and they could be also a little test group also.
Well, no, of course. Of course. We need to put together a test group. Definitely.
Well, I mean, we pay for it ourselves.
Of course.
Like a contest.
And in return, they just give us a full, we'll give them like some pages of like questions and, you know, to track. Cause I want to see like what they really think about this particular product. Yeah. But sorry guys, ladies and gentlemen, we're not going to reveal it yet because we don't know if we like it.
We're brainstorming.
We're still testing it.
Well, if it sucks, we're not going to promote it. That's for damn sure.
We just like to keep you guys in the loop of what we're doing. And honest to God, listeners, you guys know a lot about us.
Yeah.
We don't really hold anything back. So
I kind of wish I had my filter back.
Yeah, pretty much.
Thank you for listening to Mind Pump. For more information about this show and to get valuable free resources from Sal, Adam, and Justin, visit us at www.mindpumpradio.com. Until next time, this is Mind Pump.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.